So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey, folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. It's Tommy Freedom coming at you for another 30 minutes. And this week, I want to talk to you, or at least start the show, I don't know, probably the first half of the show, dealing with the issue at our southern border. This is building a wall. Why we need the wall? How much of it has already been built? How much needs to be built? Well, there are some areas that are so rugged that we essentially don't need a wall. But there are gaps in the existing, I'm calling it a wall, as technically it's a fence. But there are areas that are wide open. You've got 20 and 30 miles of fence, and then a gap of a half a mile or 2 miles before it starts again. And these are essentially funnel points where all of these people can literally just funnel through. They get to the fence, and they simply walk around it. Or in some cases, they walk right through it. Did you know that there are holes in our fence that are actually designed to be there? That's right, folks. I'll bet you didn't know that. But in the arroyos, where they cross the border into Mexico from the United States, there is actually a gate that is raised when it floods and allows all the flood water and the debris to flow with it. If you've never seen what happens in the desert when it rains, initially, before all the water, you have tons and tons of debris that has washed into the arroyos. So you have this whole, literally, it's this writhing black mass coming down this arroyo or this wash or this dry riverbed, and when it hits that fence, it's just going to blow a hole through it. So when it starts to rain or they know that there's impending floods, they will raise these gates. The problem is they forget that they're open, and they can stay open for days, weeks, or even months before somebody goes, oh my God, we left the fence wide open. So that's a big issue that we have. Now, other than that, there are missing gaps in the fence that are very, very porous areas for them to flow through. And one of those is in El Paso. One side is El Paso, Texas, and the other side is Ciudad Juarez down in Mexico. And this is right at the confluence of the state of Texas, the state of New Mexico, and I believe it's the state of Chihuahua in Mexico. You have an open area, I think it's a half a mile, it's either a half a mile or 2 miles wide. There's a two there, and I don't remember if it's a half or if it's two, where there's this open gap in between these two hills, and everybody just literally floods across the border. More people come through there, I think, than actually go through the legal checkpoint in El Paso. Well, this past Memorial Day weekend, and I'm sorry I didn't get to this earlier. I just had so many other things going on, I couldn't really cover this, but I'm glad I waited because now I have some more information to go along with this. But this past Memorial Day weekend, over the weekend, in a period of 3 days, a private landowner had sold his section of land right along the border to a private company. And this is that GoFundMe page that was raising money to build a wall. Well, they built the wall. And it was either a half mile or 2 mile stretch that they filled in. They did it in a little over 3 days. I think it was 2.5 or 3 days or a little bit into the fourth morning, something like that. It was an extraordinary amount of time that they did this. They came in, boom, over the weekend, it was done. These Mexicans got up there Monday morning, and all of a sudden there was no place for them to cross. And this piece of property was owned by a brick company. And when he was approached and said, would you mind selling us this so we can build this fence? He said, of course. Why would I have any objection to it? Well, again, that's the question. Why would any American have an objection to a fence being built? Especially if you live there on the border. I mean, what's it going to do? Block your amazing view of Mexico? I don't think so. He was more than happy to sell that piece of land. Hell, if I lived there, I probably would have given it to them, you know, a quitclaim, or sold it officially for a dollar just to keep these people from coming through, because that's the issue. And not only are they coming into this country, they're coming through his property and doing all kinds of damage in the process. So anyway, this section of fence was erected over a weekend. And yes, just a few months later, it's already being challenged in court that it was illegally built because a private entity can't build a wall on the border. It's a bunch of crap, folks. And as more of this stuff coming from the loony left, doing everything that they can and anything that they can to block any measure that is supported by President Trump or is backed by his supporters. It's about to backfire. It is about to backfire. Now, I'm not going to get into it today. Hopefully next week, I'm not sure, because I know what happens when I tell you I'm going to do something next week. Something really important comes up and I don't. But here in the very near future, I will be laying out for you, between the right and the left, if there was a civil war, who would actually win and why. And it's some good food for thought, folks. Just keep that in mind. But it's because of the crap that the left is doing that they are pushing us further and further towards the edge. They're backing us into a corner. What they are doing is fundamentally illegal. At the same time, telling us what we're doing that is fully legal, they're calling that illegal. The border is a huge, huge problem. So let me refer now to a couple of articles here and give you some information on just how bad this problem is, because unless you've actually been to the border, I have. Not recently. It was 1990 or 92. I don't remember which trip it was to Arizona. I'm gonna err on the side of caution here and say 92. It was nowhere near the problem that it is today. But even back then, I was amazed at how porous it was. It was literally a cattle fence. And when I say a cattle fence, I'm not talking about cattle mesh. I'm talking about three strands of barbed wire in those little green metal stakes that you put up in your garden. That was our border with Mexico. So I can imagine what's happened to that border now with the influx of people who have now started pouring in by the thousands, by the tens of thousands. This is a problem that's happening daily, folks. I mean, every day we have literally thousands of illegal immigrants that are coming across the U.S. border. I mean, they're literally storming the border. There's so many of them coming that they're getting through. It's like the old analogy of, you know, the peasants with the pitchforks. Even though everybody else has guns, there are some peasants that are going to come through just by their sheer numbers. They will scale the walls of the fort and get inside. And that's exactly what's happening with Mexico. And the problem is, they're immediately demanding not only entry, but all the perks that come along with the U.S. citizen. These people are criminals. A lot of them are violent criminals. They have no rights here. The Constitution is for U.S. citizens, not for somebody illegally entering this country. It's a bunch of crap. And they're actually expecting almost 1 million or over 1 million people to make it through the border. That's not how many are being detained at the border, folks. That's who's actually getting in. And it's bad. Now, last month, there were like 10 times more illegal immigrants that came in during the same month in Obama's last year in office. 10 times, folks. Think of that. 10 times. Now, why is that? Was it because Obama's last year in office was really good, had a really booming economy, and they were coming here looking for jobs? Nope. Exact opposite. So now with Trump in office, the economy is booming. They're coming here looking for more jobs to take from you and me, and we can't stop them. And Congress is actively helping them get here. And as the economy in the U.S. keeps improving, and the problems in Central America keep getting worse every day, this is going to be the place to come for work and to seek asylum. It's got to stop. Now, the drug cartels are also taking advantage of this. I mean, they're offering their services to smuggle people across the border. How? Well, the same way they've been, except that they, with their money, they have a much more sophisticated way of doing it. And what is the benefit for that? Because these people that they're smuggling in are smuggling drugs for them. Hell, they've even gotten women with breast implants that were full of cocaine, folks. It's just going to get worse. But with this huge number of people that's coming across, I mean, you can no longer ignore it. And the U.S. Border Patrol has, for the first time, publicly admitted that they cannot effectively do their job anymore without major changes. Not some kind of changes, major changes. And one of those agents had told Fox News some weeks ago, they have lost control of the border. They're supposed to be controlling our border, patrolling it, keeping it in check, and they've lost control. There are that many people coming in here right now. Now, this guy went on to say, our Border Patrol chief has mentioned that over 50% of our agents are not securing the border, and they're now actually processing, transporting, and caring for some of those asylum seekers. But I would challenge that percentage. I would put that percentage somewhere in the range of 75%. So what that means, assuming that he's correct, only about 25% of Border Patrol agents are actually working on the border to stop those that are coming across. The rest of them are wasting their time with all this detention crap. So what that's doing is it's allowing more and more of these people to slip through without any kind of opposition whatsoever. Now, when these people are sneaking across our border, generally, they have a child with them. And the whole purpose in that is so when they do get across the border, the authorities are limited as to what they can do to detain that person or people that have the child, because the policy of separating children from the person they cross with is no longer in place. This is sad, folks. Now, we know that Trump has been working literally overtime to make sure that the border gets secured. And of course, that wall is his top priority. It's also where he's been blocked the most. That's got to stop. Having that wall built will become a major obstacle for all of those trying to cross into the U.S., and it's going to provide a lot of support for the Border Patrol. It's going to take a lot of that burden off of their shoulders. We've got to secure the border, and we've got to do it now. Well, I told you earlier that they're coming across the border and demanding to be treated like U.S. citizens, even though, number one, they're not U.S. citizens. They're here illegally. They are criminals. So now they're whining. Now, I found this article here. It's entitled, Migrants Complain of Poor Conditions at U.S. Holding Centers. So apparently, the Trump administration has been facing growing complaints from these migrants about severe overcrowding, meager food, and other hardships at border holding centers, with some people at an encampment in El Paso being forced to sleep on the bare ground during dust storms. Oh my, that's the same thing that they do when they're sneaking across the border. They get caught in a dust storm out in the desert. They're going to be sleeping on the ground anyway. Do you think that there's going to be camps and tents set up for them to weather out the dust storms in the desert? I don't think so. Now, the Border Network for Human Rights issued a report this past Friday that was based on dozens of testimonials of immigrants over the past month and a half that provided a snapshot of some of these cramped conditions and prolonged stays in detention amid a record surge of migrant families coming into the U.S. from Central America. And see, that's the thing, folks. It used to be Mexicans coming through. Now the Mexicans are just letting them walk through their country, and they're all coming from Central America. And this flood is non-stopping. But that report came after an advocate described finding a teenage mother cradling a premature baby inside of a Border Patrol processing center in Texas. And the advocate said that the baby should have been in a hospital, not a facility where adults are kept in large fenced-in sections that critics describe as cages. Cages, huh? Well, let's see. You're a criminal. Well, in this country, you want to be an American? Well, see, here in America, when you break the law, and coming into this country illegally does constitute breaking the law, you go to this place called jail, where you are kept in, a cage. So I don't see anything wrong with that. Now, as Moron says, the state of human rights in the U.S.-Mexican borderlands is grave and is only getting worse. People are dying because of what is happening, and it's their own damn fault. They're dying because they are sneaking across our borders, or trying to. And it says that 5 immigrant children have died since late last year after being detained by the Border Patrol, including a flu-stricken teenager who brought it with him, who was found dead in a facility that migrants refer to as the icebox because of the temperatures inside. Okay, so some of them are complaining that they're sleeping out on the ground during dust storms where it's really hot and dry, and then they're referred to as places the icebox, where they're getting free air conditioning. Give me a break. You can't appease these people. Now, Customs and Border Patrol did respond to the complaints, and they said, allegations are not facts. See, that's called innocent until proven guilty. If there's an issue, it's best to contact CBP directly. In many cases, the matter can be resolved immediately. Now, the agency also cited its response to a critical Inspector General's report last month in which it said the government is devoted to treating migrants in its custody with the utmost dignity and respect. Well, yeah, you do the best you can, but when you have the numbers that we're dealing with, you can't treat everyone that way. And, you know, Trump and his administration are saying, and rightfully so, that this crisis is worsening because of the inaction by Congress. Now, a lot of these complaints focus around El Paso, where I said they just built that new section of fence. And the inspector general found severe overcrowding inside of the processing center there. A cell that was designed for about a dozen people was crammed with 76, and migrants had to stand on the toilets. Well, again, you're in jail. This isn't a weekend at the Hilton. You're not going down to Sandals somewhere in the Caribbean. You're sneaking into this country, you're getting detained, and you are in jail. And it's because of you that they're overcrowded. If you weren't coming here in droves, they wouldn't be overcrowded now, were they? So then it goes on to say that with the indoor facilities overcrowded, BP had to keep some of the immigrants outside, and they kept them in tents near a bridge in El Paso with nothing but a Mylar foil blanket. Others have been kept in an empty parking lot where migrants huddled underneath tarps and foil blankets repurposed as shade covers against the sweltering heat. All right, I bet they're dying to go to the icebox, aren't they? Now, a professor who visited a couple of weeks ago, he said it resembled a human dog pound. Well, yeah, that's what happens when you get that many people coming in. It's their own damned fault. They're also complaining about inadequate food, just a single burrito and a cup of water per day, and women said they were denied feminine hygiene products. Yeah, like they really have those in Mexico. Give me a break. Another complaint is that they're being kept in detention beyond the 72-hour limit that's been set by Customs and Border Patrol protection. And some reported being held for up to 30 days or more, and one told the Associated Press that she had been in detention for around 45 days. Wow. Hey, why don't you visit one of our prisons here where you got these scumbags that are serving 10, 15, 20 years, life, and you'll gladly take the 45 days. And once again, it's your own damned fault. Now, the people that are leaving, they are just flooding the border. Now, agents made 132,887 apprehensions in May, including a record 84,542 adults and children traveling together. Those apprehended also included 11,507 children that were traveling alone. That's the actual numbers of what I told you, that last month, 10 times more people came across than the same month in Obama's last year in office. They're just inundating the borders. Now, Trump's $4.5 billion border requests included things like an expansion of detention centers, medical care, food, and shelter, but once again is languished on Capitol Hill since he sent it in over 6 weeks ago because the House Democrats are at odds with the White House. Now, Congress is getting ready to go on break in 2 weeks, so this is going to get pushed further and further down the road. But there are some lawmakers that are, they've had it. Now listen to this. This is the icing on the cake, folks, and then I'll take a break. In the first 5 months of this year, the number of apprehensions at the border has already exceeded the population of Atlanta, Georgia. And that was stated by the Republican representative, Kay Granger, from the great state of Texas. That's not those who have made it in. I gave you those numbers before. Exceeded the population of Atlanta, Georgia. That is an invasion, folks. If that doesn't constitute as an invasion, I have no idea what in the hell does. Do you? Whoa, I just looked at the clock here and I am almost at the 22-minute mark. I completely missed the break, so forget it. It's too late to take a break now, so I will just find something else to talk to you about for the next 7 minutes or so. The New York Times recently printed an article that essentially accused the United States of stepping up digital incursions into Russia's electric power grid. And Donald Trump this past Saturday came out and said this report is virtual treason. Now, according to this report, current and former government officials have described the classified deployment of American computer code inside of Russia's power grid and other targets. Now, the Times wrote this whole article that deals with this, and they claim that the action is intended partly as a warning, but also to leave the U.S. poised to conduct cyberstrikes in the event of a major conflict between the U.S. and Russia. Now, Trump tweeted out that the accusations were not true. He called the media corrupt and repeated his accusations that journalists are the enemy of the people. Well, they have become that. And he said, "Do you believe that the failing New York Times just did a story stating that the United States is substantially increasing cyber attacks on Russia? This is a virtual act of treason by a once great paper so desperate for a story, any story, even if it's bad for our country." Well, you know, years and years ago, folks, you could go to the supermarket and stand in line, and you had the National Enquirer, the Examiner, the Sun-Times, and we used to call them tabloids, or my dad called them rag papers, and they were entertainment. You knew that when you bought that thing and read the article in there that it was a bunch of crap. Well, nowadays, that's what all the reporting has come down to. It's all a bunch of crap, and actually, I think sometimes the National Enquirer is actually publishing more facts than the New York Times. Now, the Times described broad hesitation to go into detail with Mr. Trump about operations against Russia for concern over his reaction, and the possibility that he might countermand or discuss it with foreign officials. Well, there's nothing there to discuss because just like the Trump dossier, it's not real. It doesn't exist. Now, this past February, the publisher of the New York Times, A.G. Sulzberger, said Trump's attacks on the press were reckless and dangerous and threatened to encourage violence against journalists. And he's quoted as saying, America's founders believed that a free press was essential to democracy because it is the foundation of an informed, engaged citizenry. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Sultboyga. It's people like you who have taken the right that you were given and completely twisted it and turned it around. Initially, you had the right to free speech, just like we have the right to keep and bear arms, to keep ourselves in front of a tyrannical government, to keep ourselves free. The freedom of the press was there to ensure that the facts got out, that the facts were printed, and the public would know the facts. Again, I said facts three times there, folks. Facts, facts, facts. Not this made-up garbage that they're coming out with now. They are essentially writing fiction and passing it off as fact, and that's got to stop. Now, in recent polls, the majority of Americans were in favor of fining these companies and these individuals for blatantly lying in their articles. And I agree with that 100%. I also agree with the number of Americans who believe that jail time should be involved with this as well. Not just fines. Now, not as many people were as supportive of jail time as they were of fining, but I am fully in support of jail time too. This is lying. This is libel. And it's got to stop. The American public is frustrated with this just as much as they are with the Border Patrol situation and the influx of illegals coming through the border illegally. Congress is dragging its feet on the wall because of stuff that the media is reporting. They're going after Trump falsely because of lies that the media has been reporting. And it's not going to stop. We need legislation to rein these companies in. It's not just CNN and the New York Times, folks. Just about every news agency out there is doing that, with the exception of some of the ones that you find online. You know, the American Free Press, something like that. But for the most part, they're just making this stuff up and passing it off as news. That's not news. That's not what the framers of our Constitution had in mind when they put freedom of the press in with the First Amendment. It's not. This has been twisted, just like they've twisted the right to own guns, calling it for hunting purposes only. That was never what they intended. And if the framers could come back today and see what the press has done, they would be horrified, and they would have put some sort of a buffer in there to ensure that this kind of thing never happened. And we need to do that. We need to regain control of our Congress and pass legislation that keeps this from ever happening again. It's got to stop. Where does it end? I don't know. I do know where this show ends, and it is coming up to that point in time. So at this point in time, I will go ahead and knock off for this week. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. And until next week, my friends, stay safe, stay free, stay imaginative, but always stay tuned. I'll be back next week. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.